Welcome to episode 7 of Oblique Outlook, where we get real about people of color in genre media. I'm Dee Dee.
And I'm Sean.
We have a spoiler policy, which is that we spoil shit. So we just want to remind you, and we cuss. we cuss about it,
a
too.
A lot.
So, if you don't want to be spoiled for Arrow, or Almost Human, or some other stuff, watch those shows and come back to this podcast later.
You've been warned.
Yeah. But please do come back. if you have issue with our spoiler policy or anything else with the show, you can contact us on Tumblr at a-bleak, spelled B-L-E-E-K, -outlook.tumblr.com. On Facebook, we're facebook.com/bleakoutlook. Twitter is @ableakoutlook. And on Gmail, we're bleakoutlookpodcast@gmail.com. So before we get into our news and notes, just want to give shout outs to all the people that gave us feedback on various social media sites. On Twitter, we got a comment from KRS, aka @SciFiMaven. They said, just listened to your podcast and totally loved it. #geek. So thank you, KRS. Glad you enjoyed the show. Hope you'll keep listening. We also got new followers to the Tumblr blog. Nyasha Jr., Miles-Ren, Artistic Kachi, and Nerd Girl Extraordinaire. So thank you all for following the blog, and hope you enjoy what you see there. We got a few likes and reblogs of our podcast post from Io. Squeeing Off Steam, I like that one. Peachington Marie Just, and Pen and Pocket Knife. So thank you for liking and or reblogging the podcast post and spreading the word about the show. A lot more interaction on Twitter this week. Got new followers, Inda Lauren, who's @Inda's Corner on Twitter. Gina, @JennaTay on Twitter. Shade Wilson, @AngelScream on Twitter. As we talked about before, KRS, @SciFiMaven on Twitter. Also, we got a mention from Black Girl Nerds, another really cool geek podcast. And that tweet was retweeted by She Thrives Network, who's on Twitter @SheThrivesNet. So a lot more going on Twitter with regards to our show. So thanks for hitting us up that way. And now we'll get to our genre news and notes. So
it's been a busy week.
Yep. And Black People Getting Checks news. Jada Pinkett Smith is going to be in Fox's show Gotham, which I guess is sort of like a Batman version of Smallville, I want to say.
It's without the Batman. So, you know, it's pre-Gotham, pre-Batman, which I know some people don't like. Some people may like. I mean, I was kind of looking at like, okay, this could work. You guys kind of late. I mean, they did just kind of drop this a little bit after AOS hit the air. I think it was around the 4th episode that AOS was on that they started mentioning this show. So I'm like, oh, okay, so now you guys are getting on board. DC, you're like 4 steps behind. Come on, keep up. And I don't know, like, but Jada being on it kind of made me go, oh, hello. Going to have to look. We may have to take some investment in this.
So she's going to play a character called Fish Mooney, who's a nightclub owner and crime boss. Because, you know, people got to have that side job.
You got to in Gotham. I mean, in Gotham, like, seriously, I'm sorry. You know, even the cops are dirty at this point, especially since it's pre-Batman Gotham. Yeah, most of the cops are going to be dirty. The only good cop will probably be Gordon. And, I mean, it's Gotham. Gotham's never been the town of, you know, Smallville's been a nice town. Gotham's been, you know, rough and tumbling.
Well, if this is a way to of Fox doing Gotham Central, the graphic novel, then I'm all for this.
They actually did Gotham Central, I think it would be awesome.
Yes, it would be freaking awesome. If they stuck to, my God.
I mean, I don't know how much of the continuity they're going to stick to. If they could do it, it'd be great. I would love to see. I think one of the things they need to do is a Renee Montoya. And we all agree on that. I know everybody in this house would be happy if Renee Montoya showed up on the show.
Just give us that. If that is the direction that they're going in, then I'm all for the series.
Yeah, if this is a prequel to Gotham PD or something, that'd be great. I mean, you could do a Batman show without the Batman, although in some way... Well, no, you could do a Batman show without the Batman, yeah.
Because Gotham Central was basically Batman without Batman. It was, oh, God. This might could be good.
I mean...
Might could. Yeah. Yes, I said might could.
But it's going to hold that against you, DD.
No. I don't care. Anyway. Only if it sucks. Moving on.
Yeah.
To, NBC working on a pilot for Constantine?
Yeah. I mean, they've been talking about it back and forth a little bit here and there, but the pilot's being worked on. And honestly, Constantine Hellblazer is one of my old favorite graphic novels, comic books. So, yeah. And I want them to stick to, you know, of course, continuity. You know, if they're making them a brand, and hopefully they will be making them buy, because that's supposed to be the selling point of this. So, you know, it's still, I don't know if it'll be, well, it can never be as great as the comic book, because, I mean, seriously, Hellblazer, John's pretty much kind of a shit stain in some respects. I mean, all your friends die, John, let's be honest. Granted, they all die to stop bad things from happening, but still, they die.
Well, I mean, we got a bi character on Arrow, so, I mean, I don't see why there would be any problem with, making Constantine true to form.
Yeah, I'm still wondering why the movie wasn't true to form. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that right now.
Two words, Keanu Reeves. Anyway.
Two words, Tilda Swinton.
She was awesome. They should have just let her play Constantine. Yeah,
she definitely made a great debut. I mean, that's now it's sidetracking, but that the great thing about that movie was the special effects. And Tilda. The guy played Lucifer. And yeah.
So.
But yeah, so. Next on.
So before we get Black Panther or a Falcon movie or a Storm movie or anything, we're going to get Black Widow.
I'm still hoping the Black Panther movie will beat out. I'm sorry, I do think a Black Widow movie will be great. I do hope a Black Panther movie kind of beats out a Black Widow movie, though, just right now. I mean, seriously.
Well, we're already getting Guardians of the freaking Galaxy.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you. I don't...
Let's get a raccoon with a gun and a tree that can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, the special effects on that look really awesome. I'm not about it. Not about it at all, and I do want a Black Widow. I wanted a Black Widow movie before I wanted a second Captain America movie, personally. But, you know, wishes and dreams. I wanted a Black Panther movie before I wanted a second Captain America movie.
Did we really need Iron Man 3? But anyway.
I still haven't seen that.
Or any of me either, or any of the Wolverines, but whatever.
Different studios.
So, yeah, they're Marvel's working on developing a solo Black Widow film that will follow through on the story arc that's being set up in Captain America, The Winter Soldier, and in The Avengers, Age of Ultron. So, that's pretty good to have two big movies as your lead-ins. For your movie, so
yeah,
should be good. So good for Black Widow fans and good for Scarlett Johansson. She's gonna be
Get another
getting
check.
checks. Yep. NBC is doing a Heroes reboot in
Was that a
another in.
reboot, say?
Yeah, it's
Think it was a reboot.
rebooting Heroes out of the trash can it went into.
Oh man, see, I'm sorry. I left Heroes like season three, episode like four. So
Exactly. So you jumped out at a good time and didn't see it crash and burn. But they're
wow.
bringing it back. It's going to be a 13 episode miniseries.
Makes sense.
And they're probably going to have side comics involved like they did the last time.
Of course, web series, everything. I
Yeah.
mean, that was the one good thing about Heroes is that it was an inclusive media thing, and I like that. That's a great idea.
But what got bad
But
about it to me was that when everybody started becoming a Petrelli, like everybody, like
yeah,
Wilson
everybody was slaving
Sylar
for
is a
Petrellis.
Petrelli, the cheerleaders a Petrelli, everybody's a freaking Petrelli, and those were the only people because those are the only people worth developing a storyline about or caring about. Well, none of the characters that I cared about were Petrellis, and they kept getting killed, so
Yeah.
that's why I'm really wary of this Heroes Reborn, whatever.
Yeah, it
So
was all
Krang
about.
is still gonna be involved, and I don't know, he just got swayed too much from the net. The network just kind of made him their bitch, and he was doing everything that the network wanted them to do, like keeping characters that were supposed to have been killed
Allie
off.
Lauder.
Yeah.
Allie Lauder. Oh, I gotta say Allie Lauder.
So,
I
yeah.
like Allie Lauder. I like Allie Lauder in certain things. Like, I totally admit, I loved her character in, what's that damn horrific series? Final Destination. Thank you. I loved her in Final Destination, and I loved her here and there, and I even loved her in Heroes, but when you kill off a character, please, there is some level of comic booking that, and I'm just gonna call it that, comic booking. You kill a character, sometimes characters just stay dead. Sometimes you have an excuse to bring a character back. Sometimes you have a reasonable explanation. I'm so glad I never found out the whole thing about that character. Because after seeing the second, or was it the third clone, or whatever it was, yeah.
Well, her husband stayed dead on the show.
Yeah, but that, and DL's death was, that was slightly
Messed
off
up.
camera and still annoying and made no sense. Logic being, if you have a power to phase, somebody can shoot you should be able to phase.
Or somebody punches you in the freaking stomach, you can.
Should be a
Anyway,
phase.
whatever.
Kitty, you don't see Kitty Pryde dying that way ever, do you? No, you don't. You don't see the Vision dying from bullet wounds to the head. No, you don't. Why? Because they can phase.
See, I'm getting annoyed just thinking about it. I
I
don't
know,
even,
see.
I'm gonna be annoyed trying to watch it. I'm not looking forward to it. What I am looking forward to is the Farscape movie that
Oh,
is
so you're a
supposed to be in
Farscape
the works.
fan. I didn't know that.
Yes.
I couldn't get into Farscape.
It's awesome.
I couldn't get into
It's
it.
awesome. The set design is awesome, how they made this one set. One or two sets in Australia just look like something different, and everything was just their set designer should have gotten all kind of awards, but and then the writing was just great, and the acting, I mean, you can't, it's hard to get much better than the two leads that they had in Farscape. So they're writing a screenplay now for a TV, for a Farscape TV movie, and the film is supposed to follow the two lead characters, John Crichton and Aronson's son. Aw,
Oh, that's right. They did
that
have a
was
kid.
named after Dargo, and showing what kind of powers that their son has, and I think they're supposed to have a little space adventure, with the old guys. So this is gonna Oh man, I just can't wait
I,
to see this.
I
I
was gonna
can't
say I
wait.
hear the fangirling going on. I
Yes, this is
hear
going to be awesome. This is yes, so I am definitely looking forward to this. Heroes Reborn, not so much. Farscape movie, all in.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of mixed about this stuff. Arrow is bringing. Well, they just brought the Clock King back, who's played by Robert Knepper, which many people may recognize from Prison Break. He
Oh,
played Teabag. He was
yeah.
also in, I think, maybe season four of Heroes. The carnival. He was in that carnival season. I don't know. I'd stop
This wouldn't
watching
be
by then.
me since
Yeah. So
season three checked out.
anyway, and that was an interesting episode. It was good to see him back on TV. Keep getting them checks. And there, we're going to get a first look at the Suicide Squad pretty soon. I've
See,
already seen one member. If you've
which
been
member did they
watching,
drop?
the first member that got recruited was Michael Jai White's, where Michael Jai White's character was introduced. He and Arrow fought. He broke out of prison. He and Arrow fought. He got put back in prison. But and then Waller comes in to the prison and recruits him for a group that she's putting together. And he's asking, like, what kind of group is this? And she says, it's something like it's more like a squad. I'm like, okay, here we go, here we go. So on IMDb, Michael Jai White is playing a character on Arrow called Ben Turner, aka the Bronze Tiger.
There
Yeah.
we go. Yes.
So
Okay. Maybe I do need to start watching because, yeah. I
he's the
like
first
Bronze
member
Tiger.
so far recruited,
That makes
and
sense. That's falling. Actually, that's falling very close to the original continuity.
well, at least something on the show is. And so that's that's the Arrow news, and we'll talk more about Arrow in our TV segment, because I've caught up on the episodes during the hiatus.
Oh, that's good.
Now we'll talk about the hot button topic
Yeah,
in our news and
the definite
notes.
hot button topic of the
It's
last few weeks. It had dulled down to a dull roar online, and then it flared back, of course, when it was totally finalized. But that would be, Fox casting of, the Fantastic Four.
So we all knew that Michael B. Jordan was going to be playing Johnny Storm,
He was
aka
the
the
first
Human
pick.
Torch.
Yeah.
We didn't know who the rest of the people, the Fantastic Four, would be cast as. So there was a lot of speculation, and a lot of people were hoping that, okay, if we've got a black Human Torch, then surely we'll get a black Sue Storm. So, on the internet, names were flying about, Lupita Nyong'o and Nicole Beharie. That would be my choice. I think she'd make an awesome Sue Storm. All kinds of people that could have played Sue Storm.
Yeah.
But then we find out that the rest of the Fantastic Four will be played by Kate Mara, who will play Sue Storm. Jamie Bell will play the Thing, Ben Grimm. Miles Teller will play Mr. Fantastic, aka Reed Richards.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much going to be Michael B. Jordan playing the only chocolate chip in the cookie, which just makes things awkward for this here Bleak.
Yeah, I mean, I have issues. And I don't actually have, okay, I have issues. Let's be honest, I have issues all around. We already know this, okay? I'm pretty opinionated about stuff. So, I mean, the combination of the crazy, I'm gonna say this. The fanboys who lost their wigs over the casting of Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm, I'm just like, why y'all so upset? And I already know that. That's a loaded question because, you know, they're always going to say, you know, well, Johnny Storm's a white man. Why can't you cast a white man? This is some, you know, PC shit and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, really? Really real?
Just about everybody in damn DC and Marvel Comics or anyway.
Let's be honest, okay? The Fantastic Four were invented in 1961. 1961, people, okay? 1961, there was not a lot of POC people in the comics industry, first of all. Comics were geared to white teenage males. So, yeah, most of your team was men, okay? Because, you know, supposedly y'all need role models. Obviously, you're not living up to your role model stance because you guys really haven't thought outside that box, okay? It is 2014. Things have changed, okay? I'm not saying that there's more, you know, non-white people in the comic book industry, which is something the comic book industry has been brought up on a number of times. And we're not even going to talk about the lack of women in the comic book industry because it's not enough. There needs to be more women. There needs to be more people of color in the comic book industry. But the fact is, you know, white people aren't the only people in the world who read comic books. White people aren't the only people in the world who are into media. You know, white people in the world aren't the only ones that need representation. You know, already got like 99% of stuff, okay? God forbid Johnny Storm be a black man. God forbid Johnny Storm and Sue Storm be black or anything but white, which is really, if Fox were trying to push the ball forward, they would have done, okay? It's a bit of a half-assed attempt in my book because, frankly, I really think they should have been a matching brother-sister set. Just me? No, it's not just me. Now, I'm going to go into the constant thing that I've seen online where people, you know, want to go, well, if we change the Black Panther or Luke Cage to white, we'd be called racist. Yeah, you'd be racist. You know why? There are very few people of color in comic books. We have very few there's so few representations of us in comic books that if you take one of them and change them, yeah, we notice, and yeah, it is racist, okay? It is. So, add in the fact is that most of the characters who are not white, their, you know, ethnicity, culture makes them who they are. And honestly, there's nothing about the Fantastic Four that actually says they have to be white. Nothing at all. There's nothing at all that says they have to be white. Okay? Unlike T'Challa, who is an African prince running Wakanda, which, you know, has pretty much stayed away from colonization and imperialism. You try to make that a white person, you're really kind of not doing the Black Panther story. So, y'all just need to calm down a little bit, maybe catch up with the times. You know, just seriously, because y'all making yourself look like asses.
So, got that all out?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to our TV reviews. Of course, we're going to start with Almost Human. And I just feel like either the execs know something that I don't. Maybe the writers know that they're getting a second season because they're bringing up a whole bunch of more questions and storylines, and they don't have enough season left to tackle them all. I mean, there's one episode left.
Is there only one episode left?
Yes.
Really?
So
maybe they are getting a second season. I could have sworn there was some questions about them getting a second season or not.
Yeah, I mean, the ratings have not been great. Especially since they don't have Sleepy Hollow.
I will be totally honest about this. I forced myself to watch the last two episodes, and I was not really that impressed. I'm still disappointed in the, you know, the switching of episodes around because, you know. But yeah.
So, if they don't get a second season, they're going to leave a lot of questions in the air. And I don't think they're going to be able to wrap up even the In Syndicate thing in the next episode, unless it's like 2 hours. So, yeah, they must know something that we don't, or they just don't care.
I don't know.
Anyway, the first episode that we can talk about is called Disrupt, the one with the safe house or the whatever they called it.
That was you know, decent premise. It upset me right off the bat. You know, black couple died. I was just like kind of already in a bad space with that.
Well, I mean, they were kind of really nonchalant about that. The boy that died on their trespassing on their house. There, you know, the guy walked in and said, you know, I'm just, you know, the same thing. I said in the trial, you know, he trespassed and the house, the security shot him down. He's like, he didn't even look like he was kind of remorseful about it or anything like that. And I know he didn't do it.
I also don't know why your security system is using live rounds when you're in a future where, I don't know, you know, stun guns kind of works, or, you know, trank bullets or anything, rubber bullets. But anyway.
Or just an alarm or something, or lasers or something to keep him from going any further or something like that. You could do things besides, like, shooting people down. But
yeah, it seemed like that was a little overkill.
It seemed like the writers really wanted to draw parallels to Stand Your Ground cases that happened in Florida and other places. Except the house was playing George Zimmerman instead of an actual person. And there were, I mean, it wasn't a direct parallel, I would say, because the races were switched, and there were a lot of details that were different from the Zimmerman case.
Yes, so, but it's still just enough. It was just enough.
It was just enough to remind people and get people, you know, upset and make, you know, possibly, you know, draw more people into the episode. So we had that going on. And then we had this new storyline about Dorian having human memories.
Yeah, I was...
So I'm like, what the bleep? First of all, I was already upset. And then I see Rudy, like, invading Dorian's privacy. I'm like, God, this is like...
Dorian was not happy at all.
I'm glad he spoke up about it, because sometimes other characters don't get a chance to speak up about it and protest when people are, like, you know, taking control of their bodies. It's like, you know, yeah, I am an android, but this is still my... This is mine. This is my area right here.
Yeah.
You don't get to poke and prod in it without my consent. So, but yeah, I have a lot of questions about these human memories. Like, where did they come from? Did Nigel, is this some part of Nigel's
Vaughn's
recipe for synthetic soul? Did he take them by extracting human memories to make synthetic soul? I mean,
you could, the speculation could go on. I really think it is that, I wouldn't be surprised if it, now I was bad about my last speculation about when it came down to Dorian's creation and stuff. So I'm kind of hesitant to speculate, but I get the feeling it either has something to do with, like, Vaughn's kid, or either somebody else that was close to Vaughn. Maybe, you know?
No, Vaughn didn't have children.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, he said that's why he wanted to, that's why, remember when he was making that speech about how he wanted to create life, which is sketchy? He was like, you know, I didn't have kids,
but I had these androids. I'm concerned that he did turn out to, you know, go over the wall and kind of, you know, everything he said could be a lie.
I mean, yeah, I don't believe anything out of his... I don't think he would lie about that. And surely the cops would have been able to find any children that he may or may not have had. So,
well, they couldn't find him for how many years?
Well,
let's be honest. The police force in Almost Human is pretty inept on some levels.
I'm just wondering why, if these memories are somehow if they're supposed to be part of the synthetic soul design, or if there's some sort of glitch or virus in the design,
Or it's
and
something he could
is
have put in him while he was bare. That's what I was thinking.
or and I mean, if it's illegal to use human DNA to make androids, is it it should it's probably illegal to use human memories, right?
Yeah,
And
I mean,
how do you even do that? How do you even put somebody else's memories into an anyway, science fiction.
yeah,
We'll
well,
hand wave it.
data. That's all I got to say. Data.
And I'm just worried. Are these the memories that will cause Dorian to malfunction and,
That's a good
go
question.
crazy or what? Is this what got everybody, all the other DRNs decommissioned because of this crap? And Rudy's just digging it back up all over again. So I don't know, and I don't think that I'm going to get answers to any of these questions in
No,
tomorrow's episode.
because, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so I'm more fascinated by that, and I still want to get more info on Anna.
Yeah, I mean,
It's
they're totally
crazy.
like, it makes no sense. Never, yeah. Frustration, bleak moment. Frustrated, bleak moment.
They've got a lot, yeah. They've got a lot going up in the air. I still like the show and I want it to come back for a second season, but yeah.
I wanted to come back for the
This
second season and actually wrap up some of these loopholes and admit, yeah, there's some.
At this point, they have to get a second season because they've left too much stuff in the air. Anyway, so that was
Also, I
Disrupt.
demand the second season to actually be in order, but anyway.
Yeah. The next episode was Beholder. This was the one about the nanobot facelifts, which was
Yeah.
interesting. It's still, the ending was kind of like right out of like Gift of the Magi or something like that.
Yeah.
This dude did all this killing so he could look good for a date with a blind girl.
That's
That's
part of me
she.
is like, well, granted, she didn't tell anybody, and she probably had it hidden, and
But dude shouldn't have been killing people just to look good anyway.
Exactly.
But
Well, I mean,
anyway.
considering well, let's see, I'm going to go ahead and sign up for this experiment, and it ruins my face.
Well,
Like,
we're
what
to.
kind of stuff? What kind of stuff is seriously? It's like I said, the future in Almost Human is really dark. It's really dark when you think about it.
Yeah, these folks ain't shit.
Yeah.
Like, none of these folks all, could all be on my ain't shit list. Except Dorian. According to Stahl, he had something like dysmorphic disorder. He just never
Yeah.
really felt good about his appearance.
And.
So.
Well, I mean, and that's, that's a valid thing. It's, I mean,
Not valid enough to start killing people, though.
no, it's not valid. No, agreed. But the disorder is a valid thing. I mean, people who get plastic surgery when you are already attractive and you just don't think you're attractive enough. I mean,
So,
but there's things in place nowadays to try to, stop that.
yeah.
God forbid in the future you have that. Anyway.
Well, I mean, he looked like he was going to, first of all, it was a trial that he participated in. So he probably had to sign all kinds of disclaimers and
Yeah.
stuff like that, protecting whatever company if they did screw up, which they did.
Yeah.
But then he started going to some bootleg guy
Well, no,
to
the
get this
bootleg guy
done.
was the doctor, one of the doctors who was part of the trial, who ended up being delicensed for the trial
Right.
because he knew about the side effects and the possibilities would happen, and he didn't,
Because he wasn't shit.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
anyway, speaking of ain't shit, Kinnix, the B storyline was that was Dorian constantly giving Kinnix shit for not being perfect. and being boring and all this other stuff. And I liked it. I liked Dorian giving Kinnick crap for once and just constantly doing it. It was a running thing all through the
The
episode.
doctor thing with the nose, that was perfect because I was like, ha, yes, see, and that's also, I mean, yeah, as a black person, they used to always talk about our noses.
So, anyway, and Kennex coming back at Dorian, calling him a composite. That was kind of cruel. Just talk, saying, at least I know where I came from. Whatever, Kennex. That's cold. That's cold. After this guy had just been, dealing with, hidden memories coming up, man, Kennex ain't shit. Anyway.
Tenex was that asshole when you were in high school.
And he just never, he just stayed an asshole.
Never,
So, I liked this introduction to DiCarlo. Unfortunately, he was introduced by Kennex destroying his best exosuit, because Kennex ain't shit. And Stahl got a little bit more storyline as far as her being a chrome and coming to terms with that.
I'm still like, like you said, like you just mentioned, there's so much stuff they laid in the second half of the season. And I'm just like, the Chromes. I mean,
Yeah, it
really?
seems like there's like this caste system when it comes to chromes, like caste, like chromes are a higher class, in a higher class than regular humans, and then there's androids. So there's this whole caste system or
I think.
hierarchy going
Well, I mean,
on
the
in this
Chromes are supposed to be
world.
perfect, and then there's the aspect of the Chromes don't do certain jobs like they're not cops, although Stahl is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why wouldn't a genetically modified, damn near perfect person be a cop, other than it doesn't pay enough, and it's
Or
dangerous.
I think Stahl's just trying to be a rebel. I think, her parents probably paid to make her, genetically engineered as so-called perfect, and she rebelled against it because I guess she hated Chrome society. Which, I mean, just getting a look at what we saw in that episode with the private clubs, with their private security, and they expect more police protection than other people on this side of the wall. Yeah, they think. Yeah, they're pretty much snobs,
Yeah, they are. They are super
and
like that whole scene in that restaurant, whatever. Wow. Like, and Chromes can tell Chromes like immediately. Like that's kind of
yeah, and they.
that reminds me of BSG with the Cylons being able to tell other Cylons. But that happened later in the seasons, of course. But yeah.
So I mean, yeah, they're still. So that's an interesting wrinkle to this world that they're building on this
Yeah.
show, which is interesting, but not enough for me to care.
See the
That's
pro I
Stahl.
will
I
say
mean,
the real
she
problem.
still delivers her lines like she's high and she's seeing them for the first time. I don't know. It's just me. Maybe I'm just never going to be impressed by that character.
You're probably not going to be impressed by her. I see where that's going. I mean, the thing with and again, what I re now what I really want is I want more to I want more of the world building to be done early on in the show. This really is screwing me. It's probably one of the other reasons why I'm like just kind of like now I'm kind of like looking at the show and going, really? Y'all do this now? Y'all done? And y'all throw all this stuff out in the last few episodes? What is this? The late hook? The secondary hook? Y'all should have put that hook in the beginning, really. And it's just wow. Anyway.
So that was this that was Beholder, and the season finale is tomorrow at 8 on the East Coast, and Lord, we'll see what happens. I hope I'm not completely pissed off by the end of it, but I hope we get a few answers to something. But I'm still, I wish this wasn't the season finale. Wish we could were getting more, 'cause I do like I am interested in Dorian. I mean, he is the show for me, pretty much. And I'm gonna miss that banter in the car that they have just about every episode. So, man, hopefully this comes back for a second season because they got lots of explaining to do. Lots of it.
Tell me about it.
So there's no, there hasn't been any more Agents of Shield?
No, it's like a mini break. Next new episode is this week, and then I want to say another one, the 12th. So yeah, no new Agents of Shield. I'm not too disappointed. It gives me a break from not wanting to go, hey, you fridged a character, and really this show is just more weed and tropes all over again. Anyway.
Yeah, no more cardboard ward for a while. So, all right. So I guess I'll just talk about Arrow for a couple minutes. Think it just came back this week or last week from a hiatus for the Olympics, and so I caught up on the last three episodes: Tremors, Heir to the Demon, and Time of Death. In Tremors, we see Roy trying to keep control of his powers, or well, Oliver's trying to work with Roy to control his powers. He's got super strength now, but he doesn't know how to control it, and it gets really so when every time he gets upset or angry and starts wanting to,
Really?
Lash out at somebody. Yeah, it's kind of reminiscent of the Hulk, but this is DC. So, he doesn't like Hulk out and turn green or anything like that, but he starts, punching away, and he's got superpowers, so he can punch through steel right now.
Roy has super strength.
Yeah, he
Never
got
mind.
injected.
I'll
He got
find out when I.
injected.
No, I'll find out when I watch the show for change, maybe.
Well, we're spoiling. So he got injected with some sort of serum, and now he has powers. And so Oliver's trying to train him, and but he can barely control him. And he had to, for some reason, he had to give up his identity or show tell him his identity in order to control. Get Roy to show calm down.
Calm,
So
trust.
now Roy knows the secret along with Felicity and Diggle and Lord, who knows who else. So he's part of the secret group, I guess. Team Arrow, whatever.
Roy is supposed to be Roy Harper, who is supposed to be Ollie's adopted kid in the comic book, who later on becomes Speedy.
Well, see, this is the thing. Oliver calls his sister Thea Speedy now.
Oh, really? So
And Roy,
Speedy's his sister.
no, see,
Yeah, I see.
it's Arrow's like just trying to fuck with
I
my
mean,
head.
Smallville was bad enough, but anyway.
They've already got this girl who was not named Dinah
Yeah, I know about
as
that.
Black Canary.
Yeah. Does she have a
Dinah.
canary scream? Does she at least have her canary scream?
She did in one of the she did in the next episode that I'm going to talk about,
Okay, good.
but in Tremors, we also find out that Moira's ex-husband Walter wants her to run for mayor against Sebastian Blood, and after some convincing from her family, she finally agrees to do it. But Moira Queen ain't shit, so she's got secrets that will make it difficult for her to run for mayor. Mainly the fact that the man that tried to destroy the city in last season, Marvin Merlin was his name, played by John Barrymore, is the father to her daughter Thea. So she's been trying to keep that a secret all through the trial. And only a few people know. The only her, Walter, and Moira's OBGYN know. And for some reason, they don't ever want to tell Thea. Because that would be too much, like, right? And then they wouldn't have to, blackmail people or threaten to kill people or whatever to keep this secret. But if they just told her, I'm sure she'd be able to deal with it, but or not, whatever. Anyway, in Heir to the Demon, Ra's al Ghul's daughter, Nissa, comes to Starling City to bring Sarah back to the League of Assassins. And it's revealed that Nissa and Sarah had a relationship. So, mainly she wanted to bring Sarah back because, you know, she missed her and she loves her.
She wants her boo back.
Yeah. But so Nissa took Sarah's mom, Sarah and Laurel's mom, and kidnapped her and said, Sarah, you know, you have 24 hours to agree to come back to the League or I'm going to kill your mom, basically. So Sarah agrees to come back, and but she takes this poison. So, because she doesn't want to go back and start killing people again. So she agreed to come back, but then she starts like passing out dead in front of Nissa. But then at the end, Nissa finally just releases her from the League and disappears. So, that love story's cut short, but no worries because Sarah, you know, just immediately starts getting it on with Oliver. Because Oliver is like the hoe of Starling City. He really is. He'll do it with just about anybody except for Felicity. Anyway, and Felicity is the one that wants his butt. Felicity tracks down all of these because Moore has been blackmailing or paying off the OBGYN that delivered Thea and knows that Merlin is Mervin, whatever his name was, is Thea's father. Felicity tracks down, follows the money, tracks down where it's going, figures out the secret, and tells Oliver. After Moira said, you know, if you tell Oliver, you know, he's going to hate you for it. He'll hate me, but he'll hate you more. Obviously, it backfired for Moira, and Oliver just hates Moira. So, you know, he went on stage and introduced her as a candidate for mayor. But he was like, you know, seconds later, you know, I know, we're done. I'll make appearances for your campaign, but that's it. Oliver is just, he's cold-blooded and ain't shit, just like his mama.
Yeah, that's where he gets it from, I mean.
So, she stayed doing dirt. She was doing dirt in season one, and she stayed doing dirt. She got so much dirt.
I only watched the first episode, and you could see at the end of, like, not even the end of the episode, she's like, her whole thing, like, you know, find out what happened. Why he returned. I'm like, wow. Mom?
Like,
that's a motherly love for you, really.
I'm saying, like, I was wondering from that first episode, did she want him dead? Was she behind the whole
thing? I assume she was at that point, but I never watched anything past, which now I obviously need to go back and watch, which is fine.
So, that was, and then, in Time of Death, we get the first appearance from Clock King, as we mentioned before, played by Robert Knepper. Who was Teabag from Prison Break. And that was pretty interesting. But most of the episode was devoted to all of this family drama because Sarah is back from the dead. And, you know, finally everybody in her family knows, from Laurel to Detective Lance and her mom, who always had hope that she was alive. And we find out at the Laurel figures out that Oliver and Sarah are dating now. And because Sarah and Sarah had been on the boat with Oliver when it sunk. So Laurel had been hating Oliver all this time for one, cheating on her, and two, getting her sister killed because he was cheating on her with her sister. Because Oliver ain't shit. that's main shitness for you. But, and then, Oliver finds out that Moira is working with Slade, who is secretly working for Sebastian Blood. So I don't know. This is just a tangled web that is being woven on this show from a whole bunch of people. They really ain't shit. And not enough Diggle. There's just not enough Diggle in any of these three episodes that I watched. So
of course, not enough Diggle.
And only one scene for Waller. And
how is that Waller working out still in Los Angeles?
She's just not.
She's not Amanda.
Impressive to me yet, and I haven't seen enough of her.
You know, that's the other burr in my coat right there. Because I mean, Amanda Waller is one of my favorite characters across the DC universe. I mean, seriously, I know I still have old Suicide Squads, and I love like Waller. You know, there's just how could if you don't like Waller's one of those characters. Like if you don't like Amanda Waller, I don't trust you.
So, but maybe she'll have more to do as she continues to develop this, get this squad together. So maybe we'll see more of her then.
I really hope she starts putting the bombs on the back of their heads like she did in the comic book too.
So we shall see. Well, that's Arrow. It's back from hiatus. They're doing the most on the show. They really are. That's all I can say.
Y'all are at 12. I need you at a 3.
they're doing a lot over there on Arrow. And we did get one shirtless scene. I forget which episode. What episode was it in? I think it was in. I forget which episode it was in. But yes, it was one of, you know, because they always have to have these training scenes. And Sarah was training with Oliver and Diggle. And both Oliver and Diggle were shirtless. So, you know, for y'all that are interested in that, there's your shirtless meter. Just a shirtless watch shirtless for Arrow.
What did D say? D says something about the main character's thighs. I don't know what it is. I'm just like, okay, I'm not gonna go there.
I don't be looking at his thighs when Diggle is shirtless. Sorry. So maybe I'll just have to rewatch for that. We support thighs here at A Bleak Outlook. Anyway.
Yes, thighs like a Clydesdale's. That's what it is.
Is that good? Okay.
I don't know. Shrug.
All right.
Some people like those thighs.
Okay. Diggle. Anyway, Diggle was shirtless. The end.
But once Diggle was shirtless, yeah.
All bets are off. Alrighty then, our contact information before we go on a tangent that is just woo. a-bleak-outlook.tumblr.com. Facebook is facebook.com/bleakoutlook. On Twitter, we're at @ableakoutlook, and on Gmail, we're bleakoutlookpodcast@gmail.com. So, just always remember, Diggle gets shirtless.
Oh God!
And it's a really good reason to watch the show.
Dee Dee, you're at a 14. I need you at a 3.
Ain't no threes in this. No, ain't no threes in here. No.
Oh man.
So, I'm just giving you a bright spot to end the show with. What? I'm trying to be positive. Anyway,
positive.
so that's it, y'all. Enjoy the shows. Enjoy Shirtless Diggle. Bye.
Bye.